Welcome to Shoot Me Straight. Dave Fields, Eddie Gallagher. We're here with Gilmar Ferreira. He is a good buddy of ours. He owns Forjit's Jiu-Jitsu Gym, black belt in Jiu-Jitsu. He's originally from Rio de Janeiro, right? Mm-hmm. You were born there?
Yes, I born there.
Okay.
Valentine's Day, 73.
Okay.
Thank you, Eddie. Thank you, Dave, for having me in today. So, I moved to West in 2011, March 2011. Have been here for 13 years.
Yeah.
I have been here for 13 years. So my first state was Wisconsin. So one day
I was in Wisconsin.
One day I was at the beach with my friends. 2 days later, I was in Wisconsin.
So that's cold.
You guys can see the huge difference I felt.
Yeah, like how was that going up there? What time of year did you go up there?
It was March 2011.
So still cold?
Yeah, it's still cold. So I came with a hoodie and a pants. Oh, I'm going to be fine. I need right away get gloves and real clothes because it was cold. Mm-hmm. And then I went for the Wisconsin. And then I don't know, guys know Grafton. It's 30 minutes from Milwaukee. It's 10,000 people. So I live in Rio, a big city, and I came from Grafton.
Oh, wow.
So it was a huge difference for me.
What work were you doing up there in Grafton?
I came to teach jiu-jitsu.
Teach, okay.
Yeah, I came to teach. Originally, I'm from LCCT. It's a teen. He's a black belt from Hickson. He got his black belt from Hickson. My old instructor, Luis Claudio. And then I came with him. Then I stayed in Wisconsin for about 1.5 years. And then I got married with an American woman. And then you moved back to Illinois, in Chicago, because she was working the Brazilian embassy. Mm-hmm. And then we got divorced. I went back to Wisconsin.
Back to Grafton?
But no, and then I'm back to Oak Creek.
Okay.
Oak Creek in Milwaukee, close to Milwaukee too. And then I went back to Illinois. And then I came to the paradise. Because what we live in here, it's a paradise.
I cannot explain better. Yeah.
I cannot explain better. Well, I have a friend, he lives in Florida. I know him back then in Rio. And then I went from Wisconsin and 2 years later he came from Florida. And he always, you might come to see the state. It's good. Come close to the beach. Because I grew up close to the beach. Surfing, hang out with my friends. And one day I came, March. I never going to forget in my life. March 2019. And then I think he went for the, in PCB, the park, St. Andrews Park. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. When I saw the water, it's blue and green. This sand is white. That's Caribbean. What am I doing in Illinois? What am I doing there? So March 2019, I went back. I said, guys, the gym is closed. The gym is closed. I moved to Florida. April 2019, I was in Florida.
1 month.
That quick.
1 month. I went there. I closed everything. I put in my documents, the thing for my kitchen, in my car. I drove all the way straight.
Wow.
12 hours to Florida.
Let me ask you, so when you were in Grafton, did you open up a gym there?
No.
Or did you work at a gym there?
I worked at a gym there.
How popular, like, was, because it's a, you said, like, city of 10,000?
10,000 people, yeah.
How popular was jiu-jitsu there? I mean, was it?
Not so many.
I wouldn't think so, yeah, because I.
Not too much. I have one, my old instructor had a association over there.
Mm-hmm.
The gym, it's very successful right now. The name of the owner is Perry White. He's still on the place over there. And the place grew a lot since I the first time I went there. I cannot tell right now how popular in Grafton right now, but I can tell in Milwaukee, it's jiu-jitsu grew a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, it seems like it's blown up because I'm from Indiana. Well, but I didn't live there for 20-something years now, but I keep up with my buddies, and we had that one guest, Anton, my buddy, and he teaches like jiu-jitsu and everything, but I was asking him, and he's like, yeah, it's, you know, there's a crowd for it, but it's not as big as you know, some places, because that's sort of like the Midwest, I think, a little bit.
Wrestling.
But even down here, when you came down here in 2019,
yes,
there was not that really any jiu-jitsu at all down here. That seemed like here around that time is when
started to blow
like
up.
Three or four places opened up at the same time in this area, which was I was happy for, but it was cool. But yeah, it wasn't as popular. There was no jiu-jitsu place here really, except for Gracie, the one
and Destiny.
Yeah.
Well, and that's been the case. I mean, Gracie's were all over the world, mm-hmm. all throughout the 2000s, but especially 2019, 2020, like, jiu-jitsu was really just starting to blow up. It's grown tremendously since then as a whole. But around here, we didn't have any of these other little gyms until
2019, 2020 is when, because I, like we talked, Larry, I met him mm-hmm. and he was telling me about Forged. It hadn't opened up yet. And he was like, we're going to open up that one. And then Forged started having jiu-jitsu classes. And then,
Coastal.
Well, then Coastal. Yeah. They opened up. So it was like around the same time everybody opened up together. And that's, it was interesting to like, know everybody from the different gyms as they were opening it up, and they're trying to get people to come in,
and more studio gonna open for sure.
Yeah,
because I'm gonna tell one thing: who doesn't want to live in here? Yeah. Who doesn't want to live in the
bubble?
Paradise?
Yeah,
because I call it's a paradise.
It is.
People ask me, Panhandle. I falei, guys, when you gonna move from Florida? I falei, never. I can go visit my country. I can see my family in Brazil or go some travels, but leave Panhandle? Mm-mm. I found my place in West.
Yeah, if for people who haven't been down here, like especially where this part of Florida, I try to explain when I go different places and they ask where I'm at, and you know I say Florida, I live in Florida. I think they picture you know like Southern Florida, and they're like, ah, all right, what? And I'm like, no, I'm like where we live. I'm like it is literally. I say that paradise. I'm like I can't. Explain it any more than that. It's one of those places. It doesn't matter where I travel to. I always want to come back. Like every time I come back here, I'm like, thank God I live here. Yeah. You know, if you feel blessed just for being in the area.
Yep.
Yeah.
The opportunity you have, how I told you guys at the beginning, I can go, I get my bike. I can ride my bike and be at the beach in 10 minutes.
Yep.
I can walk at the beach 5:30 a.m. Before I start everything in my life, I can go there and walk at the beach. For me, I came from a country. It's very known about beaches, right? Jiu-jitsu, samba, soccer. But I'm telling you, even in Rio, that beaches we have in here, we don't have over there.
No, these are the most beautiful beaches in the country. Yeah,
I didn't see. I'm not joking. People say, like, guys, I'm telling you, like, the sand, it's the white, the color of the water, mm-hmm. blow my mind in March 2019.
Yeah, that's what got me down here. I saw this place once, and that was it. I was like, I went back and told my wife, I'm like, we have to go check this place out. I'm like, you wouldn't believe it. I was telling her, it's like the Bahamas, but it's in Florida, up north, you know, mm-hmm. and, she's the same way. I took her down here. She saw it. She's like, yep, let's move down here.
Yeah. Yep.
That was it.
Yep.
Yeah. We just don't want anyone else to move here. So yeah. This place sucks.
Let's go keep it secret.
Yeah.
So, yeah, guys, yeah, let's go raise everything what you say. It's, don't move to Panhandle. Please, don't.
Hey, what was it like growing up in Rio de Janeiro?
So, I can't explain about Rio, yes. It's a beautiful country, good people, good food, but it's hard to get your life together in my country because people going to say it's the people, yes. It's not just the government. I'm going to say the people have a good portion of that problem.
What is the problem like with the people?
It's the Brazilian way. Nobody get on time.
Yeah.
If you have a meeting, forget it. 10:30, they're going to get 11. Makes sense. So, and everything's under the table. Like, I want to buy a car, example.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy need to pay a fee like $100 a fee for something. We're going to find a way like, oh, can you raise that $100? I can give 50 under the table and then make this easy for me. Or go to the line and, oh, I'm going to have $100. Can I go in front of you?
Like, really? So everything's paid like?
Everything. Yeah. Everything. Everything what you do in my country, you know you're going to pay under the table.
Why is that? Because they don't want the government or
the culture.
That's the way that
they've
been?
That's the culture, bro. That's the culture. That's why I say, like, it's not just the government in Brookcountry, it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
But people doesn't help too much.
Do you think the way that the government is there causes the people to be like that? Like, hey, I don't want the government knowing what I'm doing or having any kind of control over me, so I'm going to do everything under the table and do everything on my own. Because, I mean, I think we're getting to a point like that here in some cases, right, where the government takes half of everything you earn, or not half, but nearly, it seems like. So I think a lot of people are like, well, why am I working and doing all this stuff so the government can take half, so I'm going to go ahead and get paid under the table? Like,
so they control anyway.
Yeah.
It's hard for me even to talk about it because example, like, people are losing their passport in Brazil. They are taking the passport away. The Supreme Court for my country taking the passport for the citizen.
For what reason?
You don't have the free speech in my country.
Mm-hmm.
We do not have.
So if you say anything bad about the like, or give your opinion and it doesn't match theirs, they'll take your passport and be like, well, now you can't leave.
Yep. Yep. That's the way my country right now.
Jeez.
Yep. That's the way. But beside this, I had a beautiful life over there. I surf with my friends. Mm-hmm. I have my young age. I did judo when I was young. I did capoeira, the Brazilian martial arts. And then I found jiu-jitsu. And then I felt okay. Because I never saw myself behind the table. A doctor, a lawyer. I never saw myself doing that type of job. It's not for me. How I told you before, it's my lifestyle.
Yep.
Makes sense. It's if I don't have my lifestyle, I cannot be happy. I will be so unhappy and unhealthy. Doesn't work with me. So
jiu-jitsu,
I was 21 and I fell in love. I was like, that's what I'm gonna do the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And I worked for 10 years overnight, sleeping like 4 hours a day because I had two boys in Brazil, still live in Brazil. And just I work until 6 a.m., came to my house, sleep until, because the class over there was 10:30 a.m. At 7 a.m., take my shower, sleep like 8 to 9:30, wake up, get my gear, go to training, go to lift my weights, come back, sleep 2.5 more, go back to work again.
Huh.
Because I knew jiu-jitsu was what I'm going to do the rest of my life.
Wow. And how long did it take you to get your black belt?
10 years.
10 years?
10 years. Jiu-jitsu, it's not like a karate. I'm not saying bad about karate, but
yeah.
It's like, oh, you saw kids 7, 10 years old. I have my black belt. Okay, that's cool.
Yeah. All right.
Yeah, yeah, that's cool. But in jiu-jitsu, uh-uh.
No, you got to earn.
You got to earn it.
And this is what I've seen is there are some gyms, like people earn it by the amount of money they spend, right? It's like, well, I show up, so therefore I should be able to promote to the next level. But then in jiu-jitsu, especially with some of the gyms around here, I've seen is, no, it doesn't matter how many times you show up. You have to apply what's being taught to you, and you have to practice on your own in order to pick up rank and pick up a stripe or pick up a belt, and you have to test out, and the professors are the ones who are like, okay, yes or no. And I mean, the guys who I was training under at Capital, they seemed like, yeah, they're like, we're not going to promote you just because you showed up. You have to put in the work and prove to us that you know what you're doing.
Yep, yeah. I agree. It's because I love jiu-jitsu because when you clean your feet, bow in, you are not the one. Can be the president of the United States.
Yeah.
When you clean your feet and bow in, doesn't matter. No, the body gonna choke you.
Yeah.
The guy's gonna choke. I'm a president of the United States. We don't care. I'm a janitor. We don't care.
Yeah.
We don't have that problem inside the mat. Makes sense. That's in the way I saw jiu-jitsu, it's what you do on the mat and then what you do outside the mat. Because my evaluation go in the both ways. Because you can be the best athlete at the gym, but if you don't do the way jiu-jitsu taught you inside the gym, outside the mat, it doesn't work for me. And especially if you use jiu-jitsu to hurt somebody, to defend yourself, it's one thing.
Yeah.
It's one thing. I'm not saying, like, to defend yourself, go for what I'm going to say. But if it's jiu-jitsu with my brand, you out.
Yeah, if you do jiu-jitsu with the intent, like, I'm going to go out and I'm going to start something to, you know, whatever, test these skills I've learned or I want to put them on, then, yeah, that's like, then you're doing it for the wrong reason, right? It's
because it's, I follow some Grandmaster Helio Gracie laws. He has some laws which I love it. So keep your gear clean, respect others, and with the tattoo in the face, some stuff in my gym, you can train over there, but promote, you won't get promoted. Mm. Because you represent not me. When you bow in, you not bow for me. You bow for the person came before you.
Mm-hmm. Mm.
People don't understand that. Like, it's, I know. It's, you not bow for me. You bow for David. You bow for everybody on the mat who is stepping in or he will step out. People don't understand that. Why you have the bar in the left side? Because the samurai back then, to take the sword, that's why the bar is in the left side. Some things have in jiu-jitsu, I think it's very important. People doesn't know the history.
The tradition and heritage.
Exactly.
Yeah. Which it's important.
Yeah.
In any aspect. It doesn't matter what you're doing. It's the same, like, you know, I come from military service and there's certain, you know, units that you belong to all have their own heritage and how they formed up. And it's the same thought process there where this isn't about you. Like, this is bigger than you. And this is bigger.
Exactly.
This is for, like, the things that you're doing now, the way that you handle yourself, the way you present yourself. You're doing that for those that came before you.
Yeah.
It's like my buddy's quote, you know, I had a good buddy. It's like the perfect quote. I have it tattooed on my arm here. He ended up dying. Brad Kavner, it was a toast. And it was like, to those before us, to those amongst us, and to those we'll see on the other side, please, Lord, do not let me serve unworthy of my brothers.
Amen.
And that quote to me encapsulates everything and how we lived in the SEAL teams, like a certain group. But that's why I love, like, when I started jiu-jitsu, it's the same mentality. Like, this isn't about you. It is about you getting better, you know, and being a better person and just inside and out. But the way that you handle yourself, you're now carrying that for the others that came before you, right? Mm-hmm. So you have to think about those things before you make actions outside of the gym or do anything that's going to bring discredit upon you, your family, or the gym that you belong to.
That's such a gangster quote.
Oh, yeah.
So that's a Boondock Saints type gangster quote.
I agree, because it's we came from, I'm not talking about politician ever, but I mean, we are in the time right now, respect, it's the last thing people do today.
Yeah.
So people doesn't know about respect anymore. Makes sense, so.
Why do you think that is?
Because it's, I think, came from the parents. I'm going to say one thing. Parents, I have two boys, 29, he's going to turn 29, and then I have 22 years old. They are bigger than me. The only thing I ask for them, they're going to give to me, it's I demand to them, it's the respect. Not for me, respect outside, the elders,
yep.
The women, the kids, everybody. Because if you don't respect, I don't care about their law, I'm going to catch you. That's it. They know it's Ferreira's law. You have the American law, have Brazilian law, you have the Ferreira's law. They know the Ferreira's law. They need to follow the respect the Ferreira's law. Because my dad came from that law.
Yeah.
He passed that law for me. I'm going to pass that law for them. If they want or not, they're going to do it. Until I close my eyes, they're going to respect that law.
How'd your dad help teach you respect growing up?
My dad died. I was 15 years old. Mm-hmm. Okay, but my dad has a hard history because in Brazil, favela, we call the ghetto guys calling here in Brazil, it's favela.
Yeah.
So that guy came from the ghetto. He didn't have food to eat. He came from nothing, and I never lived in the ghetto. My dad, he hated the word. It's not fair. He hated it.
Good.
Hate it. So it's not fair. It's not fair. Okay, go to sleep. And my mom, no. Tomorrow 6 a.m., he's going to come with me to the place I came from. And said, come. I was a little boy, how I told my dad. I was 15. I was 8, 7, 9 years old. Come to the gate with him and then saw the kids in the corner. No food, no parents, no house. And he looked at me like, that's not fair. That's not fair. That's not fair. So I have example in my house. I was eating. I don't want to eat. And the guy come to my back. He didn't say nothing. I just look at him. Okay. I'm going to eat. Because he didn't have food to eat.
Yeah.
So how can bad example like I saw. I mean, not say like I don't have a hero. I have one hero. My dad. That's it. That's same. My hero. That's my hero. And my mother. Now for sure.
Yeah.
That's for sure. That's my hero. If you don't have your parents as your hero, I think that's the problem.
I cannot agree more. Yeah, I think yeah, and especially in America and to like today's society, as we keep like progressing forward, and we are the most spoiled society, I think, ever. Out of anybody. We have everything given to us. Everything is. I mean, it's everything's very easy to attain. It really is. I mean. I get it. There are people on hard times in America, but as a country as a whole, we got it really good. And I have perspective on that, just like your father did with, you know, he brought you back down to the favela and showed you like, this is what, you know, life is not fair. That's a hard and fast rule for anybody. Life's not fair. But I think the people in America, especially like, this younger generation, it's hard to tell them that, like, when they have a minuscule little thing happen to them and they break down, they're like, oh my gosh, this person called me a name, or it's like little things, but it blows my mind, because I'm like, that's nothing. Like, you move on past that, you have no idea the hardships people go through all over the world, because half the time I don't blame them, because I'm like, they just don't have that perspective. But it's like you said, I blame the parents, or I blame whoever has been bringing them up, that they have not showed them that, like, hey, we have it so good here. And that's why, I mean, it's, you know, people that migrate here from different countries that come from like hardships and everything, you don't see that attitude. They're happy to be here. They're like, just like you know, you're like, this is paradise, I'm never leaving. I don't need anything else. Mm-hmm. Where our society pushes on, no, you want, between want and needs. And it's like, you have everything you need, but I want this, and I'm going to get it. And I think that it's a detriment to our younger generation, for sure. But like you said, it's on us, the adults, the parents. It's on you to train or raise your child like your dad. This is my law. I feel the same way. I'm like, I don't care what the school system's telling you. I don't care what society, what social media, what everything else is telling you. This is the way we live here. These are the rules that we abide by, and this is how you treat people. And it, yeah, if it doesn't fit into society, then who cares?
I agree.
It does not matter what society thinks. This is the way we run business here. Mm-hmm. And that's the way I was raised, and I think that needs to happen. I mean, be passed down. That's how, you know, passed down from generation to generation. That's called heritage, you know. And each family, like, especially as men, if you're a father, you should be passing that down to your children and raising them with your values. And if they don't match society's, who cares? Mm-hmm. You know what you're doing is right. And so I think that needs to be instilled into our youth a lot more. And that's why I like, you know, jiu-jitsu. I see when young kids are going, and I take my sons, they go and they're learning, like, discipline, how to treat others. And then they're all, what I like about it a lot, and this is just for not young men, but for men our age too, because I started later on in life, is it humbles you. And it's like, it takes that ego, like, see ya, yeah, like, ego gone.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah, you got your man card pulled here. Are you going to come back? And that's the key. That's what I tell my sons. I'm like, it does not matter. I don't care. You get on that mat, you get choked out, you get beat, you get whatever. It's get back on that mat. Get back on each and every day, and that's how you are going to become a better person.
Yeah. Some of the baddest guys that I know, like the best black belts, are some of the most respectful, good men. Dangerous men, but good men, you know?
I'm scared about the what is more scary? So the pit bull or the chihuahua? Mm. The chihuahua doesn't bark. He bites, right? Mm. The chihuahua opened the door. Wah, 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 wah. That's why I saw people. Mm-hmm. When I saw people barking too much, for me, it's a chihuahua. Mm. I'm not scared of that person. I'm scared of the quiet ones.
Yeah.
That's what I'm scared for.
Yeah.
Because, okay, that guy, he knows something, and I won't mess with that guy.
Yeah.
Makes sense. So people don't understand about this. When people, blah, 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 blah. I think for the count we have, I don't know if the quote gonna sound correct for you guys in English. So if you respect your teeth, keep your mouth closed.
That's it. Yeah.
Makes sense. So if you respect your teeth, keep your mouth closed.
What else are you, like, the quiet, you know, the quiet ones are like, that's a perfect analogy. It's the quiet ones understand the consequences of what could possibly happen. They know that, they know what they know, and they're like, if I engage into something, I could either, one, get hurt, but even worse, I know I can hurt that person to a point where, I mean, is it going to be worth me getting involved right now instead of I can get out of this, you know, and walk away. And that's the biggest thing I tell my kids. I'm like, the number one rule to fighting is if you don't got to fight, get out, like, then don't. Mm-hmm. Like, you should walk away at all times. It's only used until it's like that last, there's no other option. Then it's like, okay, now we're going to go. But for somebody like at your level that knows what they're doing, you understand, like, if I do engage, I'm going to cause some damage. And then there's going to be consequences for that damage as well.
No comeback.
Yeah.
It is no comeback.
Yeah.
I always say, like, you need to understand the window. You have a window. You just say early, like, if people call you names, who cares?
Yeah.
Who cares? I saw another thing. I saw when someone try call names, I saw the window, like a mirror. I'm a reflection of them. If they call me as a B word, they are the B word. If they tell me this, I laugh like, okay, you tell me what you are. So if you don't touch me, you have the window. So if the person start calling names, that's the window. Okay, time to leave. Time to go home.
Yep.
They say, okay, yes, I am. Can I go home? Cool. Yes, I am. Yes, you're right. What am I going to say? You call your name, so yes, I am. Can I leave? Cool. But when the person touch on you, it's a different scenario.
Yep.
So it's no coming back. That's what I always tell my student. You have the window. Start calling your names. That's the warning. Go home. Go home. Leave. Leave. Mm-hmm. Leave. Leave. Because if the person touches you, it's a different level. Because now you cannot give the back for that person. We don't know what's going to happen after this. So that's people don't understand how you say, like, oh, people, so people, oh, you this. Oh, you hurt my ego. Oh, my God, I'm going to my house. I'm going to cry. I'm going to call the whatever. It's,
oh, sorry. Oh, that's all right.
So who cares?
Yeah.
You know you are not that person. Why going to get so offended? Why? Mike Tyson say, like, everybody
has a plan.
Has a plan before I get a punch in the face.
Yeah.
He's right.
It's truth. Yeah. And it is. It's like you said, when someone's, you know, and it's also the situations that you put yourself in, right? So if you're at a bar at 11 at night, yeah, most likely there's a possibility that something's going to happen. Somebody's going to start something with you. Somebody's going to say something to you. And you have to have that maturity and that discipline to be like, I like that analogy you put, it's a reflection of themselves. It's their own insecurities that they're you know, trying to start something with you, call you names. It takes nothing to walk. I mean, and it's harder to do, you know, and I don't think a lot of people have a hard time, like, once. And I think we all fight that battle, right? We're like, okay, I can walk away right now. But then if the person's, you know, keeps egging you on, it touches that ego. And it's like, nope, you need to do something. And
that's what they want.
Yeah.
That's what they want, bro. That's the one. You have the angel, you have the devil.
Yeah.
You need to choose which one you're going to look for. Are you going to look for your left shoulder or going to look for your right shoulder? Because I just live in Brazil and West. I'm going to talk about Brazil right now. In my country, you need to watch out. Because even you write, the person start call names. You react, you're going to get bullied in your face. Leandro Lo, the black belt that got killed 2 years ago.
Yeah.
That's the perfect example. He was right. The guy took the bottle of whiskey from his table. He went talk with the guy. The guy confronted him. He put the guy on the floor. The guy stand up, kill him.
Yeah.
So you need, especially in my country, you need to watch out. That's why, since we're young in my country, in Rio, you need, okay, start calling names, time to go. Because that person is start calling name, because when you react,
yeah, in your face. They want to escalate the situation. Yeah.
So it's, who cares? Call names. Who cares? Today it's too much. Me, ma, 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 ma. Bro, move on. You have your whole life in front of you. Why are you going to get so mad or going to mess your life? Because one little mistake can put in the jail for 20 years.
Yep.
So what are you going to take you? Just, okay, yeah, accept whatever the guy call your name and just get your key. And move, go home.
Yeah, and I think that's difficult for young men.
Yeah,
I mean, especially because, you know, I'm raising. I've got a 23-year-old, and then I have a 14-year-old. You know, so I've watched. You know, you watch them grow, and it is, if you don't instill that type of discipline in them young, but also put them in some sort of combat sports. I mean, I had Trevin in jiu-jitsu before he took off, and then Ryan, my youngest, he's a wild card, and I love it. Like, he's full of piss and vinegar and like, let's go. But I'm like, no, I put him in wrestling for the past 2 years. And that was it's a huge change. Cause then he realized, he's like, first, I'm not the baddest man on the planet, even though in my head, I think I am, but it also instills that discipline of, okay, maybe I don't need to go out and, or react to every situation. Right. Yeah. And I'll be fine walking away. But for a lot of men, if they don't get put into those type of sports where they do have to confront physically somebody and challenge themselves in some way, then they never know. And then that's why they're walking around like, nobody better say something to me or else I'm going to, I'm going to go in the red and blah, blah, blah. It's like, that's not what's going to happen, buddy. But that's why it's very important for young men, I think, and women, to join. But I think young men at in
especially
in their adolescent age, especially because they're full of, you know, their testosterone's coming and everything, and they're not thinking straight.
That's for sure not.
Yeah.
I think some is we're talking about parenting. Like as a father, you as a father of boys, boys need to be humbled and like check their ego. I needed that as a kid.
But you need to have that that ego and be humbled in a controlled environment,
yep.
not out on the street,
yep.
which is I think a lot of them find out, unfortunately, out on the street.
Yeah.
They get humbled in a way where some of them don't come back from it, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's what jiu-jitsu is.
That's the male model need to come in, like the hero in the house.
Yeah.
You need your son or your daughter need to look at you as a hero, mm-hmm. not as some guy raising me and, okay, I'm going to go once a while, talk with him. When I move to the house, have my own family, I'm never going to visit him. I never going to call him. Mm-hmm. My sons in Brazil, I talk with them 3-4 times a week. Mm-hmm. I call my mother. Because they are part of my blood. Mm-hmm. I have 4 names in my skin. It's my family. That's my circle.
Yeah.
That's my circle. My mother, my daddy, and my kids. It's my circle. So the waves represent everything comes and goes. Mm-hmm. But this, you're going to stay forever in my skin. Mm-hmm. So I think we talk about the respect,
How would you say for young men to become those heroes in their home? Like if they have young kids, they're thinking about, you know, most guys my age, you know, around 40 that have, you know, kids 10 under, a little bit over, they're not thinking about how they're parenting at all. They're just surviving throughout the days and thinking about their job or whatever else.
They get more involved in the kids' life.
Yep.
What you saw all the time, the parents do with the kids.
Give them
a phone. Shut up.
Yeah.
That's what they do today. You don't see kids playing football with their dad in at the beach. You don't see the daddy play with them outside the house. We don't see this anymore. It's better for them come in the house tired, give the phone or put the TV and, guys, please stay quiet. I have a stress day today. So don't be a daddy.
Yep.
Don't be a daddy. If you don't want to have that job, because for me, be a daddy, it's a job. It's a job for 24 hours, 24/7. If you don't want to have that job, don't be a daddy. Simple.
I heard a perfect quote, like, for the phones and everything. When you give your kid a phone, you're not introducing your kid to the phone or to the world, you're introducing the world to your kid. Mm-hmm. Like, here he is, take him, yeah. right? And because that phone, everything on it, is going to instill all sorts of crap into your kid because that's all it is. Mm-hmm. So you have to be wary of that. Like, if you're going to give your kids, because it's going to happen eventually, right? Like, it's one of those unfortunate evils. Like, when they get old enough, they're going to need a phone. But you as a parent have to know, like, they're going to be seeing all sorts of stuff on that phone. And that's why it's important to instill your values. And I preach that nonstop. Like, it's on you to, you know, instill your values, your beliefs into your children. Family, to me, and I'm the same way, like you just said, I have all my kids. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the way I feel. Like, that's the most important thing to me.
Yep.
And the way, like, that's my legacy, is my children. And my family, and that's they're going to carry it on. And how's that, like, if I let them just stroll on the phone all day and let society raise them, then it's not my legacy anymore. It's just, it's whatever society says. And yeah, it is work. Like, when you come home tired, like you said, sorry, you chose to have children.
Yep.
That's part of your job. Yep. You know, and yeah, it is tiring at some points. And but you have to make that decision, like, when your kid is, there's nothing worse, and I'm guilty of this, too, when raising my kids, when my kids are like, Daddy, you know, let's go do it, and you're tired, and you're like, oh, dude, just let me, you go do it, I'll be there. I look back on those times, you know, and there's, you know, few and far between, but I'm like, dude, I should have got up and went with him, or like, that's the time they want with you. And every time you pass that up, it adds up. And the kids know it. Mm-hmm. You know, the kids know when you are like, no, I'm working or I'm doing this. I mean, there are times when you're going to have to do that, but it should be very slim.
Yeah, it should be the exception, not the rule.
Yes.
You know, there are times that, we got four, all under, 10 and under, and there are times that it's like, okay, everyone for the next, we give them 30 minutes on their iPads and phones throughout the day, and we'll say, okay, 30-minute time, let mom and dad just have a break for a minute, but that's the exception, not the rule, mm-hmm. You know? Even at restaurants, dude, it'd be so much easier to just give them all phones and everything at restaurants, but we're like, nope, that's going to be – our rule is not going to be doing that. We're going to fight through that yeah. dinner at El Chico's or whatever.
because, David, example, like you have you, four kids, your wife and you, right?
Yeah.
So one day, example, your mother or your daddy get your kids to go to the restaurant. Mm-hmm. They don't have a phone with them.
Yeah.
So they how going to control the kid? Mm-hmm. How? I don't have control. Ah, I'm going to start screaming in the middle of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. So you raise for you, for your for the society, how you say, because I don't care about society either.
Yeah.
They didn't follow my rules. Mm-hmm. And for your wife, right? That's one of like people see your kid on the street. Oh, Dave, I saw your son yesterday. Oh, my God, so sweet kid. He came to help me, grabbing my bags, carry. That's what I expect for a kid,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now your daddy or your mom come house. Oh my God, I cannot go to the restaurant with that kid. Mm-hmm. Makes sense. So you need to think about when the kid's not with me, how gonna act when they're not with me.
Yep,
it's a good word.
Makes sense. So that's the problem. Like, oh, with me I can control, but you're gonna be with them 24. You need time with your wife.
Yeah.
You want okay guys, today it's mom and daddy. We're gonna have a dinner together. Mm-hmm. You guys are gonna stay in the house, have a nana. And come to the house and, oh, my God. Oh, my God. I'm glad you guys come back. I need to go home.
Yeah.
Who wants to stay with your kid? Mom, can you stay with my kid? I'm going to travel with my wife for a week. If they have a nice standard, they're going to stay with your mom.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Don't have any problem. But if you don't have your mom, nope. Yeah. I cannot. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
That's what we talk about. Like, people doesn't have any control. I blow my mind. Sometimes I'm in the restaurant and the kid talk back with the parents. My mind was, oh my God, my mom is 78 years old. If I talk back with my mother, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. Yeah. Yes, ma'am, and no, ma'am.
Yeah.
That's it. I have a problem with my youngest son when 2 years ago when I went to Brazil, the last time I went. My mom told him, no phone on the table. I think it was the last day before I come back to us. Let's go have a dinner with my sister, my nephew, my niece, my sons, my ex-wife. And my mom say, no phone on the table. And we have a dinner. And then I think it was the right to order the dessert.
Mm-hmm.
He was across the table. And he, I was like, what your grandma told you? And in the middle of the restaurant, he did this. I stand up and then I cannot say in here in the podcast what I told him. But bro,
yeah.
Who do you think you talk with? You lose the respect from me? Let's go outside.
Yeah.
I'm gonna just leave in here because
I know exactly where you're going with that because I've done, you know, I do with my kids too, but and that's like you have to let them know, you know, and
I'm the boss.
You just mess with the bear, and that's what happened. But then it only takes about once or twice of those little encounters, and then from then on, all I have to do is just give a look, like, hey, and then they're like, all right, yep, I don't want a piece of that anymore, you know. So but that's part of parenting, you know, and I think that's been taken away as well. They're like, oh, like, it seems like kids nowadays, they rule the household. It's like whatever the kids want. Oh, the parents are doing whatever. Oh, we don't want to hurt their feelings. And then they're letting them make the decisions. Like, well, what do you guys think? And what do you guys want to do? And it's like, that's not how it works. No. You're under my roof. I'm providing you food, shelter, which I should, because I'm your parent and I'm a loving parent. But at the same time, you're in my world.
Yeah.
Once you leave this household, and I've had to have those conversations with all my kids. I'm like, when you're 18, and not even when you're 18, if you're 18 living under my roof, you're still under my roof. You're still under my rules. The second you can provide for yourself, you can get a job, you want to go live on your own, do what you want. Like, that's, you're on your own. But, and here's the other thing I tell, like, if you instill those values and beliefs into your kids and then you let them go, because you're going to have to let them go eventually.
Yes, for sure.
And they might go do whatever they're going to do. They might, and a lot of them will rebel. Like, I'm going to be my own person and I'm going to find my own way. They come back. They'll come back to those values, rules, and beliefs because they see, like, how society is, and they're like, this isn't what I was raised in. This isn't right. They'll end up coming back. I did it. You know, I rebelled, went and did my own thing. But eventually you grow up and you're like, nope, what my parents taught me was, like, the way, you know.
And, well, you had a good example of that with Ava, right, when she was on the podcast last week, was – you have your daughter that you've invested enough time in, even though you're on deployments and stuff, most of the time when you were there, you invested time in her. She knew you loved her. She knew you were her dad, right? And
yeah.
So when she had that time where she was getting, honestly, manipulated, where she's like, hey, I want to go live on my own. And you guys were like, oh, okay. And then she immediately was like, never mind, I want to stay here, yeah. You know, because.
Like, all right. Yeah.
But right. I think there's another – I love how you started, number one thing, is, like, invest in it. Like, just as a – and I honestly think that responsibility falls on the man as the head of the house. Is as the man, it's on you to not put your kid – you put your wife above your kids, one,
mm-hmm.
but also to proactively invest. So with my little ones, like with my little boy this morning, you know, I pray with him this morning. I spend some time with him this morning, and I speak things to him like, hey, you're going to be a great man someday. Last night, I had him clean with me for an hour. We got home, and it was just me and him. We're like, we're going to clean this living room, clean this kitchen. I made it a game, right? But it was him working, and I praised him on being a hard worker. Right. So there's times that, hey, it needs to be just straight discipline, but you also need the praise too, where you're building into them. And I think most guys just, I don't know if they don't want to, or they just don't have guidance from other older men of, hey, this is what you need to be doing right now with your kids.
Well, I think for a lot of them too, and I've seen is, they're not leading by example. So if you're putting out certain rules in your household, or you're like, hey, this is what you should be doing, and you're not following those same rules, the kids are watching every move you make. So you can't be some kind of fake leader. Mm-hmm. Like, this is what I expect of you. And then if you're a father and you're lazy, maybe a little bit of fat, you're watching TV all the time, not working out, not instilling discipline in yourself, then you're not going to be able to do that into your children. So I think for a lot of men out there, you know, and I get it, you fall into that middle-aged slump or whatever, you know, that I hate the word, oh, the dad bod. I'm like, why do you have a dad bod? Why is that acceptable? You should be constantly trying to better yourself in every way, yourself, not have anything to do with your kids.
Yep.
It does. I mean, it does. But if you can't do that for yourself, then you are not leading by example, not only for your kids, your wife, you're the one setting the tone for the household. Yep. Right. And so, I mean, and that's one thing when I was raising my kids when they were little, I never knew if I was doing the right thing because I was always gone, deployed. But when I came back, I still made it like the same way. I had to go abide by my lifestyle. So I got up and worked out when I was home. I did all these things to better myself. And I used to think it was selfish. You know, I'd be like, oh, man, maybe I shouldn't be doing these things because I should be spending more time with my kids during that time. But I saw it pay off. It came to fruition. My kids, as they got older, they were like, they start working out. They start doing things in a manner that you did. You know, like my son, my oldest, joining the military. That came out of nowhere. He's like, nope, I watched you. This is why I want to do it. And that is probably the biggest compliment as a parent you can have, like you being the example or the hero. But I think that's missing.
Yeah. You know? Well, what's the quote? Why would they listen to you? You don't listen to yourself.
You don't respect yourself enough to put the work into yourself, you know, to make yourself a better human being. So why would they? Why would they respect you?
One of the Rickson Grace interview, the guy asked him, what the most important person in your life? Me. The interview look at him, me? Yeah, myself. If I'm not happy, if I'm not healthy, I cannot make nobody happy. Nobody gonna be healthy.
It's true. Yeah.
It's true. The way you say it's the same thing for me. It's I love myself first. If I don't love myself first, I cannot love my kids. I cannot love my mom. I cannot love nobody.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because I don't respect myself. Mm. So when I'm 51 years old, and people say, I don't lift weights for nobody. I lift weights for me.
Yeah.
I don't lift weights to look fit, to look younger. No, I look weights for me. I love to take my shower. Like, that looks good. I go to run. Oh, I still can run.
Yeah.
Oh, I can train with 19 years old. I can train with 20 years old. I'm 51. So people don't understand like, why you lift weights with 51? Because I love it.
Because I can. Because I'm able to. That's why I do it. And that's another thing. Like I remember being little, you know, even when I was in my 20s, you see people in their 40s, mid 40s, and they're like, oh, wait till you get to this age, it's over. You know, it's like it's this untalked about thing that's like, oh, once you hit a certain age, life's over. You just need to sit around, get fat, and do whatever. And it's like, that's not, no. Like, if I want to be able to be doing this until I'm 70, you know, or even if I can, older. And that's the key, is like, you're constantly trying to better yourself and also love yourself enough to, you know, yes, I want to look good. And that people are like, well, that's so vain. It's like, no, it's not. It's for my mental health. Like, if I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, ugh, and guess what? My mental health is going down as well. Cause now I'm like, dude, I'm not the person that I want to be. But if I can look myself in the mirror and be like, all right, you know, I look good, I look healthy, that's your mental health skyrockets, and that pours over into your family.
Yeah. Because if you go, if you're 51 or 60, whatever, and then you cannot go up to the stairs, you cannot open you cannot carry your bags, you go to the grocery store and you need to call somebody, hi, can you come down and help me to put my groceries in my house? what? You're 51 years old, you're 61, you still can do it by yourself. When you're 9, it's okay, but you're 60.
Yeah.
Today you saw the kids 20 years old. They cannot run. They cannot walk. 20. Bro, you're 20 years old. You need to check yourself. You need to check yourself. Like, something wrong with your... I'm not talking about the disease. I'm talking about the laziness.
Yes.
I'm talking about the laziness. I'm not talking about... Disease is another... It's another thing. It's a different thing. But the person is healthy. Yeah. You need to get in shape. Or at least... The condition you can walk and can run and you can help yourself.
Yeah. Right?
Because it's, what's the point?
Yeah.
Getting older. For what? To depend somebody to help you? To put a foot in your mouth? Doesn't make any sense.
No.
So that's what I don't understand. Like, it's all good. I'm going to keep, my friends, I'm going to keep lifting my weights. Mm-hmm. I'm going to keep training. That's what I love to do. And that's what I'm going to do the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. Period. That's it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Simple.
You can't bleed down into others, give to others, mm-hmm. lead your family, all those things if you can't lead yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did since you've been in the United States, I mean, the difference between here and Brazil, huge.
Yes.
What do you love most about being here? And since you've been, especially here in Florida, starting Four Jits, like, do you feel like, man, you've made it? Like, this has been, like, coming from where you came from to now.
I'm gonna explain this way. My hero, he came from the ghetto. So when I born, I didn't live to the ghetto. He changed my family's life. Now it's my time. I'm changing my family's life again. I just sent you help me with my citizenship application. I sent this Tuesday. Mm-hmm. I'm changing my family's life again. Mm-hmm. My grandchildren are going to be American, bro. Mm-hmm. They're going to live in America. So it's huge. Mm-hmm.
So your sons are going to come over eventually? You're getting them all, you're going through the process?
Yep.
How is that going through that process?
So right, I tried for 2 months ago. I applied them to come as a tourist. They denied the visa as a tourist. Mm-hmm. I have my green card for 13 years. They denied my sons to come to see me in West. They never moved to West. I don't want to do nothing legal. I want to do everything and the law.
Yes.
And they did allow me to bring my kids. But I applied. David just helped me this Tuesday because I can't speak English, but I still have a little public English. So, and then he helped me to send the papers. Blah, blah, blah. I pay already. I send all. So now I need to go through my process for the citizenship. I put their names already in the process.
Mm-hmm.
So, and after I get my citizenship, and then I can start the process.
Okay.
So it's two steps. First, finish my citizenship, and then apply for them.
And then apply for theirs.
Yep.
Yeah. And it is a process. It's a lengthy process. I have a buddy that, Kyron, who applied. He's from South Africa. He's been, you know, applying for his visa, and he gets frustrated with it, especially with what we see going on at the southern border. He's like, why wouldn't I just... I could just walk across and like everybody else is doing. And, you know, and I told him, I was like, yeah, you could do that. I was like, but then you did it the illegal way or the wrong way. And I was like, and that's, you don't have nothing to stand on after that. Like nothing. It's like, I told him, I was like, I know the process is hard, frustrating, and you know, you got to suffer through it a little bit. But that's what's going to make it be worth it once you do get your citizenship. I'm like, if you just walk across right now freely, I'm like, what does that do for you? You know what I mean? Like, you didn't put any work into it. You just took the easy way out. And I'm like, and nothing good comes out of taking the easy way. Everything that's good in your life and all of us takes some kind of suffering mm-hmm. and takes a little bit of work and frustration to make it worth it. So I respect the fact that you're going through the right process, even though it is long and arduous, but that's what it takes to become.
It is what it is.
Yeah.
Bro, it's the best. Guys, America, it's the best cult in the world. I always tell, America come to complain with me. Guys, no. Don't complain with me. No, with me. Nope. I don't have a job. You guys don't have a job. What do you guys talk about it? I'm an immigrant. I have my green card. I just opened my business in Florida. I just opened my gym. I do cleaning on the weekend. I clean houses on the weekend. So what do you guys talk about it?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't make any sense for me. So in 2017, when I left my old instructor, I have four jobs. The same week I was bouncing three times a week in Milwaukee. I was driving for Uber, and then I was teaching two gyms, one in Milwaukee and one in Illinois. And how the guys can complain about they don't have a job? Or you have the right to have the food stamp. I don't want it. I have two legs and two arms. I can go to work.
Yeah.
I don't understand. It's the best, again, U.S., United States of America is the best country in the world, period.
Amen. Mm. It is. I mean,
period.
It's the land of opportunity. And it still is.
Yeah.
Even though people want to try and tell you it's not, like, oh, that's just laziness. Yeah. It's that's laziness has spread. It's like a, it's just rampant where people don't have the work ethic. Like you, you're like, I'm working five jobs right now. Like, and I'm happy about it. Like it's the mindset of others is like, oh, five jobs. Like, I don't have time for that. How do you find the time, the energy? I'd rather be dependent. They'd rather, like, I'll just have the government give me, you know, money and I'll be dependent on them. And that's exactly what the government wants. They want you to be dependent on them. That's why they're letting everybody come across the border right now. Like, here's your phone. Here's your money. Here's this. We will take care of you for the rest of the time you're in here as long as you do what we say, as long as you follow our narrative.
Vote, you vote on me.
Yes. You, long as you push our agenda and our narrative, and that's, I'm sure you can relate, and so can people from coming from other countries that are, you know, fall under like socialist regimes. It's getting a lot closer to what that is, right? Because that's not what our country is founded on, but that's what, I mean, I think over in the past, I don't know how many years, we've seen the government is not being, they're not hiding it anymore. They're like, no, we want you dependent on us. And it doesn't matter what race you are, what, you know, other, where you come from, what religion you are. They are like, nope, we just want you dependent on us. And we want you to abide by our narrative. And if you speak up against it, then no, then you can't have what we're giving out. So, yeah, it's I completely respect the fact that you are, you stood up on your own two feet. And you're like, nope, I don't need to depend on anybody. I have the ability to get this job. I have the ability to work five different jobs. I'm going to do it, you know.
Eddie, what I saw today is they pushed the good ones to the edge. But that edge get closer and getting closer. What I saw, it's that good people start push back. That's I can see as an immigrant. They push the good ones to the edge. Five guys pushing the whole nation to the edge. Because it's not so many, not too many people doing the socialist, whatever.
Yeah.
So it's if you put it today, it's 80% of the country want the American way. 20% it's pushing the 80% to the edge. That 80%, you're gonna push back. The 80%, they start getting tired. So it's too much, guys. It's too much.
Yeah.
We give this for you, guys. We give this for you. You guys want more? So no. Time to push back. That's what I can see right now. It's getting closer.
Yeah. I mean, this year we're going to see.
It's getting closer.
I think, especially with the election season coming up, it's – I don't like to, like, bring, you know, gloom and doom or be like, oh, but it is a very – fragile time in our country, I think. And it can be dangerous, too, as well, because you don't know. I think the American people on both sides, doesn't matter what side of the aisle you've been put on, you've both been manipulated by the government and the media to hate each other. Mm-hmm. They've divided this country, and that's there's no, like, we are the most divided we've ever been, I think. And I think people are, it's, you can only, like you said, you can only push people so much until you're going to get a reaction. And, you know, I'm hoping, and I never want to see anything like that at all. But at the same time, I'm looking at our leadership, the government, like, what are you doing? Like, why are you doing this? You know what I mean? So we'll see. I just, you know, that's why I keep my faith in God and that He's the only one. That
I'm like, I agree. Amen.
I put everything into it. Everybody else is just human beings, just Amen. Like me. Yeah. We all make mistakes. And if you're looking at another human being to determine the outcome of your life, then you're wrong. Yeah. Right? You should be looking to a higher purpose, God, and then taking what the gifts He has given you, which is the gift to be able to, you know, work, you're healthy, use it. Right?
Eddie, how many people didn't open their eyes today, Eddie? we are lucky ones. We open the eyes today.
Yeah.
Alive. How many people didn't open their eyes today?
Yep.
That's what people need to think about it. Every day you complain too much, you just think, I'm alive. I have one more day. Another day. So people complain too much for nothing. You don't have the job you wanna. So work for.
Yeah.
Work change. Oh, I don't have time. You don't have time. Make the time.
Make time.
What's your priority? Your priority is to be at the bar, or the priority is to make your life better. Because if you look your life 24 hours, you're gonna find some day 1 hour scrolling your phone. So that 1 hour, go to study, go to the gym. You can get a brutal workout in 1 hour.
Yeah.
Why not? You're alive. I think it's the point. It's you're alive, bro. You're alive. Stop complaining. How many people didn't open their eyes today?
Yeah.
It's a good word.
How many people in the bed today, in the hospital today? And people complain to be alive. I'm complaining because I'm alive. What?
It is, but that's such a good perspective, you know, to have. And I think it's hard for people, and especially because, you know, we talked about earlier, this country, we have it pretty easy here, right? So, like, we're pretty spoiled, like we talked about earlier, as a country. So I think it's hard for people who have not faced any type of adversity, you know, real adversity, what they think they have because somebody wrote something about them or said something. They're like, oh, it's like the hardest thing they've ever faced. And you're looking at them like you have no idea. Like, just like your father said, this is not fair, yep. Right? What you're going through is baby stuff, right? Like, but we've come to a point now where the little baby stuff, and it's the victim mentality. The victim mentality has spread through this country. Like, and it's been put up in a pedestal. Like, the bigger victim you are, the more you'll move ahead in life.
More benefits.
Because that's the government wants you to be, is a victim. And it's like, no, dude, you're not a victim, first off. And, like, you have breath in, you know, you have air in your lungs. You have both your legs, both your arms. Use them. Yeah. Do something with it. Yeah. You have a backbone. Yeah. Use it, right? But it's, you know, I think that's one of those things that it needs to be instilled back into this country.
But we know too, the 20%, that's the first one to hide themselves if something happened.
Yep. Oh yeah.
So you know that if something happened, the 20%, oh my God, help me. We have that experience 4 years ago with the COVID.
Yep. Oh, yeah.
Have that experience. We don't need to talk about it, but we had experience. Like, I went to buy meat in the grocery store. I was in PCB. The meat is gone, but the fruit, the vegetables, is getting waste over there. The soda, it's gone. Why? You choose to have the soda. You choose to have the chips. It's gone, but you don't have the fruit. And then you tell me I need to stay in my house because you want healthy. Doesn't make any sense. Doesn't make any sense. So why I take care of myself, I need to stay in my house, and you don't take care of yourself to help you. And then we keep going to the groceries and buy chips and soda.
It's almost like they want you to stay sick.
Exactly.
Yeah.
We had this 4 years ago, so.
Yeah.
Bad example than that. Like, it's in my country, like, I don't have a water. I didn't go to the grocery store to buy water. What I did, I boiled the water. I bought a big jar of, like, 5 gallons. I boiled the water, went cold, put inside, put in my fridge. I didn't have meat. I bought eggs.
Yeah.
That's it. That's it. Makes sense. So why am I going to have protein come from the eggs? The water, it's clean. I boiled the water now it's clean. I'm going to drink the water. toilet paper. I have water in my house and soap.
Yeah. That was the craziest, was the toilet paper and paper towels. Like, I still to this day don't know why that became, those two items were like the biggest life-saving issue for some reason. I remember I was going down. I was like, what is going on right now? Like, why? But I think, you know, and this is my own little tinfoil hat I'll put on, is I truly believe, like, when that happened, that was them testing us. Like, okay, let's see if these idiots are all going to go out and just splurge on toilet paper and paper towels for no reason. And we did. And that's when they were like, we got them.
Yep.
Go ahead and initiate the vaccine, you know, the COVID crap, pandemic. They're going to listen to whatever we say.
Yep. So yeah. Better experience what we had 4 years ago. I'm glad I'm in here because I was in Illinois. And they shut it down everything over there.
Yeah.
Again, it's God. God had interesting way to talk with me. It's God saying to me, bro, move, because something going to happen. If you're going to be in Illinois, you're going to be in trouble. So I moved 2019, and what happened? COVID.
Yeah. Yep, and not here.
Not here. 3 months, okay, guys, let's go to the beach. Yep. Let's go do something because it's too much, right? Yeah. So it's crazy. So you cannot let, we talked before, you cannot let nobody ruin your life. Rule your life. Guide you. So you need to guide yourself. You need to say, okay, this works for me. I'm going to do this way. If it doesn't work, how you say, a human being who made a mistake. I made a lot of mistakes in my life.
Yeah.
But I always try to be a leader for myself. I never was the follower. That's why my friends, you always against us. I'm not against you guys. I'm stand about myself. I don't want to do this. I'm going to do my way. You guys are going to do your way, and we're going to find in the middle.
Yeah. And if I make a mistake, I learn from it, and then I'll...
I'm say sorry.
Yeah.
I'm going to come back. I'm going to say, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. I did so many times in my life.
Yeah.
I made a mistake. I'm sorry. I made a mistake. Can you talk? Can you make a rem? Whatever. But if I follow what you talked before, if I follow your way and I don't feel comfortable what you say, and then I don't point what I think is going to work,
mm-hmm.
doesn't work for both at the end. Because I will be mad about myself. I won't follow what you say. And at the end, nothing going to work.
Yeah.
That's a good word.
Sandwich.
Awesome, dude. Thank you so much for coming out here doing a podcast last minute.
And thank you for having me. Thank you, Eddie.
Thank you, brother. This was great. Great conversation, man. I like your, I just like the way you lead, live your life, the headspace, your mentality. I want to spread that amongst everybody else, you know. You're at 4JITS.
I just opened the 4JITS. I have been in Florida since 2019, but I taught in one gym in PCB. And then since 2022, I opened the 4JITS in Florida. So I taught in one gym in, Kicks.
Yep.
Yeah. And now I opened my gym 3 months ago.
Congratulations on that.
Thank you, bro. It's going well.
Heck yeah.
I have good people around me. David, I have Dean, I have a lot of students over there, so it's looking to the sky, bro.
My man.
Yeah.
That's awesome, okay, brother.
Thank you. Thank you guys for having me. And guys, America, the best couch in the world, trust me.
Yeah. You heard it here.
Yeah. Awesome. Out.
Out.
Thank you. Let me go to the bathroom.
Yeah.